Well, hello again. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Mark. This is chapter 14 with 72 verses, translation, commentary. And also we have, I have a message here in regarding consecration and prayer. Prayer is the way we stay in a consecrated state. There are people in our church that constantly... I can tell whether they're listening to the messages and reading the Bible and praying, because they become very in a slump. I'll just put it that way. There's so many different ways people react when they're in the flesh, and it's very important to listen to all the tapes, because these tapes are like heavenly pharmacy, heavenly medicine. For a person to be able to stand one day at a time. People that are so unspiritual, that don't pay any attention to what the Lord says on a daily basis, the Lord wants to feed people. It's like manna coming down from heaven. And if they don't pick it up off the ground, they starve to death, because this is the only food in the world that is able to save your soul. Now, we have a couple of letters also, but right now let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint outwardly this message. Father, we thank and praise your name. We ask that you anoint this message today. We've got a lot to say, and not enough time to say it, but we really thank you, Lord, for anointing. And when you anoint messages, Lord, we can say a lot in almost one hour. And so we just pray that you'll do just that, Lord. Give the general public, the unsaved of the world, the salvation through this message, and edify the church, make the church stronger, more powerful, more alert, more diligent and vigilant, and more full of zeal. Lord, we ask it to do all that you have commanded them to do, like pray always, and pray without ceasing. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, where's the first letter from, please?
From Kenya, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor Tony, receive greetings in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I have received all the newsletters you posted to me. They have encouraged us in the whole town of Rongo, because I went door to door sharing them with neighbors. So far, over 13 Catholics have defected from Catholicism, and we expect great numbers to turn in the next few weeks. But there is a severe hit back from the Catholic priest in charge here. He has expelled 34 orphans who are linked to us in any form or way. So we have nowhere to take these poor orphans, since they are all sponsored by the Catholics. Please, please, would you be so kind to connect us with any individual organization or churches who will help to support these orphans. We are in the process of starting an orphanage now, and I have donated land for the same purpose. I cannot find words to explain how inspiring the newsletters are to us here. Please, would you send us the Messiah book, all the last year newsletters, another Pearl Harbor, evil one world government agents are claiming to be U.S. agents, plus some Bibles. I am also thinking of translating the newsletters and books in our traditional language so that our people's eyes can be opened to leave Catholicism. Please pray for our security from this representation of Satan around here. I agree with you that when the Pope visited Kenya in 1982, then followed coup, I have already heard here a woman that was posted at the Vatican as an engineer. She says she was sexually assaulted by the deceased Pope. She says that if a lady gets pregnant in the Vatican, the child is taken away from her and smashed. Then its ashes are used to make the Blessed Sacrament and distributed all over the world. She has a lot to share about the Vatican, but I'm afraid of their technology to intercept information in the computer. How this lady got out of the Vatican is a miracle, since nobody is allowed to leave the Vatican once you step there. God bless you and your ministry. George from Kisumu, Kenya, Africa.
Right, the Vatican is a bunch of demonic animals, and you know, when there's hundreds of millions of people that have testified so, you'd think that people, unless they're totally brain damaged, would catch on and leave that cult. Somebody just read a story to me about the Vatican. What was that in regard to again?
The Catholic Church no longer swears by
that the Catholic Church no longer says that the Bible is true. And it's not a church, it's a cult. Anyone that comes up with any other doctrine than that which is written in the Bible, let him be accursed. And that's why that cult and the people in it are accursed. You see them flying high and with much pomp with their inauguration of different chief justices and things like this, and the president is there and everything. There was a woman who was just wearing a T-shirt on an airplane, and it pretty much said what the truth of the matter was. She had a picture of Bush and Dick Cheney and somebody. Who was the other
person?
Who?
Condoleezza Rice.
And it said, meet the you-know-whos. And there's a movie out about that. And it was a real clear picture. And she was forbidden to go on the airplane because she had the T-shirt on. I'm sure everyone out there, if you watch the news, which is really mostly no news, every so often something like that slips through the cracks and it goes on television. And I'm sure the people in the Vatican and the White House, they should have put the Pope in that picture with Mr. Bush and Dick Cheney and this Mrs. Rice, or Miss Rice, whoever she is. All right, so because the Pope is the one that is their leader, they won't make a move without him. They're very loyal to this cult leader. And anyone that belongs to the Vatican, the Roman Catholic cult, is in the most dangerous cult in the world. And they'll kill you. I mean, they warn you by taking everything away. They took everything that we had away from us, and because I preached the truth about them, and then they put me in prison on false charges for preaching the gospel, and they hate the gospel. And now, what paper was that in where it says that the Vatican does not believe in the Bible?
The Times Online.
The Times Online. Well, there's so many times. There's the Southwest Times Record. There's the New York Times. There's all kinds of times.
I think it's Europe because it says
it's Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Europe, but the Europe Times.
It just says the.
Well, we have to find
Times
out.
Online.
The Times Online. Well, we have to find out what paper that is and where it's out of, so that you can all check to see. The Pope and all the people in the Vatican don't believe the Bible, and I know that. That's why I've always asked them to if they want to. But, you know, if they want to debate me, I'll debate all of them put together. The Pope, anything. I know the Bible, the Pope doesn't. The Cardinals don't know it. The people in the Roman Catholic cult, they don't know the Bible. They go by the cult doctrine and curriculum of the cult, not by the infallible Word of God. The way you can really tell that the Word of God is true is that you see all the prophecies being fulfilled that the Bible says would be fulfilled in these last days. And it's happening, and it's like accelerated, like earthquakes. They used to be maybe 5 or 10 a day, and then now it's up to around anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 earthquakes a day in the world. And the world is being plagued now with every kind of disease. That's never been before. That's called pestilence. And then you've got the tsunamis and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the typhoons. And everything combined, it's never happened before. And every time, you know, I watch the news, people say, this has never happened before. In the book of Joel, it tells about the aged men saying, hey, you old men, have you ever seen anything like this in all the years that you've been alive? And, of course, they say, no. This is signs of the end time. And so when that cult is telling you that, you know, that they don't believe in the Bible, you know that that has to be Satan, because Satan is totally against the Bible, because it tells you exactly who the cult leader is. It tells you where all the evil concupiscence, every evil abomination in the world is coming directly from Rome. And it tells you Rome, Italy. the city of the seven hills. If you ask for a ticket to the city of the seven hills, to go to a travel agency, they say, oh, you want to go to Rome? And they'll give you that ticket if you got the money. So this is where it's coming from, and it says that the powers of that organization is that old red dragon, the devil. And Satan knows that his time is short. Satan has been cast down from heaven. He used to have the permission to come up and give a request to the Lord and say, you know, your servant Job, you know, if you cut him off and you build a hedge around him, you break that hedge down, now he'll curse you. Okay, so the Lord let that happen, but the devil could not, or the Satan could not kill him, and Job did not. So, but now he doesn't have the permission to go up there any longer, and that really has ticked Satan off. He's thrown down to the earth now, and he knows that his time is short, that he's going to be burning to a crisp in hell and in the lake of fire with all his the evil angels that left the Lord, and all those that follow them, all those that are believing in this one world government, in Rome, which runs the one world government, the cult, and the news media. And so, you know, you people, get out of there if you want to go to heaven. You know, I'm not asking you for money. I'm just telling you this, and we're paying for these broadcasts. You know, we have people out working, and they come in, and they live here, some of them, and some of them don't. They send in finances to help pay for these broadcasts and the literature that the Lord gives me, leads me to write. Okay, so let's continue on. So what this man is saying about the evil one-world government, which is run by the Vatican, is true. And this woman, her T-shirt, the only thing she failed to do is put the picture of the Pope on there and a bunch of cardinals. And if they did, if you saw it spiritually, you'd see that these wicked people have horns and a pitchfork for a tail. And they're nothing cute about it. Now, you see a lot of TV programs, because they control the media, they have nuns doing silly things to make you laugh, and priests and things like that. They don't mind being laughed at, but they don't want to be unmasked. What I'm doing is, they're no laughing matter. If you're laughing at these different comedy shows that have the nuns and they do silly things, or the flying nun and stuff like this, Vatican doesn't care anything about that, because they figure, you know, anybody that's a comedian, people like them. But they're not comedians. They've burnt people to the stake for years. They've thrown people in prison. They've murdered hundreds of millions of people down through the years, and they're doing it even as much today. Not even as, only as much, but more. They're bombing countries and using our troops to do it, and killing innocent people. And so, and then they're using germ warfare on people. They even used it on Desert Storm. While I was in prison for the gospel's sake, some of the different officers that worked in there told me that they were over there at Desert Storm, and they contacted a nerve gas that they were trying to bring to the enemy, and it hit them. And they, as they say, there's not one moment of time in their life that they're not in pain, horrible pain. And they said they tried to get the government to foot the bill to give them something to kill the pain and something to treat them, and the government won't give them anything. So that goes to show that this Antichrist government is not for you. They're not. They don't even love their own. And they'll put you to death, and they'll put their own people to death. And they're known for it. But the only thing is my uncle, who just recently passed away, said, when I wrote the Pope's Secrets, he said, you're writing the truth. And he said, everybody knows it's the truth, but nobody has the guts to put it out. And I told my uncle, it isn't that I have guts. The Lord told me to do it, and I have fear him so much. I've got more fear in me than I think anybody in the world, because and it makes it look like I have guts or righteous indignation, but it's because I fear what God would do to me if I didn't tell you folks the things that I'm telling you. And if I'm telling you the wrong things, why would God be blessing me the way he does? Mm-hmm. Now the Vatican will come in and send in troops and say, is this blessing? You know, and then they'll take you and torture you or throw you back in prison or so on and so forth. Or take all your property away. Well, the Lord said these things would happen to the righteous. He says, everyone that lives godly in Christ Jesus will receive persecution. Now, you don't see that happening to a bunch of devils or these big religions. You only see it happening to the born of the Spirit Christians. Now, a lot of times the Vatican doesn't like some of their own priests, and so they'll see to it that they get put in prison because they don't even like them. And they do it to make it look as though they're being persecuted as well. They took the different books and made up the Book of the Martyrs. They changed it and put a bunch of Catholic people in there that were martyred for the gospel, when in reality that wasn't even true. It was only born of the Spirit Christians. And so the Book of Martyrs is a lie. The Book of Protocols of the Elders of Zion is a dirty, filthy lie. It puts the shift of the blame of what the Catholics or Vaticanites are doing on the Jews rather than the Vatican. And yet there are some bad Jews, and there was in the Old Testament and there is now, that joined up with the Vatican because of the money they have, which really will be short-lived, and because of the powerful jobs that they let some of them have. But you notice that a lot of them that have these jobs are dying like flies or catching all kinds of diseases, and they're scared to death. I keep mentioning that Piper Cub or Aranca, that a little old plane flew over the White House or over the United Nations building somewhere, maybe the Pentagon, and it showed all them people scattering like a bunch of cockroaches trying to leave the building. Oh my God, and here it was, just a little old airplane, some guy just went off course, you know, and I bet that they would, if a big-sized pigeon flew over, they'd start scattering. The Bible says that the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as lions. They're not bold. They've got security, thousands. And the Pope, when he went out on tour, he had hundreds of thousands of troops out to guard him, his little emaciated pink body, because he was so afraid to die. But true Christians are not afraid to die, because to me, I saw the kingdom of heaven. I saw Jesus. He appeared right in front of me, and you know, to me, to die is gain, because I'd be right with him. And so that's why a lot of these people don't want to put you to death, because they know you'd be right in the arms of the Lord, right in the kingdom of heaven. And what they like to do is irritate you and antagonize you and take your stuff away in hopes that you'd get bitter and that you'd fall away from the Lord, and then they'd kill you. So don't let them do that to you, brothers and sisters out there. And don't let them do that to you, those of you that are unsaved. Get saved. Ask the Lord to enter into your heart. And by the Spirit, he will. And he'll wash all your filthy sins away. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will enter into you. And you'll be a new creature. And you'll be a spiritual person. You'll have God in you so that you can truly be called a God-man and a God-woman. And you'll be part of the body of Christ. And then just get some of our literature, and we'll send you a Bible, all free of charge. And everything will be wonderful for you then. Now, you might go through some persecution. The Lord said you would, but it's a lot better than spending eternity in hell, isn't it? In the lake of fire, yeah, with all the torments there. Okay, what else does this letter say?
This is the next letter. It's from Alberta, Canada. Mm-hmm. To whom this may concern. Recently, I went through rehab, and while I was there, I met a gentleman who introduced me to Tony's teachings. I was absolutely intrigued. He also recommended I view your website, of which my first day out in a cyber cafe I did. I am very interested in learning more, but have no idea where to go here. While I am trying to get back on my feet, I would very much like to study this. I would be eternally grateful if materials on the ministry could be sent to me with the fees waived as I rebuild my life. If possible, please send this to me at... And
there are no fees, so there's nothing to waive. Amen?
Amen.
Except we'll just wave at you, you know. And we say, praise the Lord, brother. That's it. There's no fees. The Lord gave me salvation free of charge, and anything that I have that is spiritual, I give it out free. Okay, and then what else?
Thank you very much, Chris from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Praise the Lord. And that is it?
I could have one more.
Okay, go ahead, read it. Where is this one from?
From Cote d'Ivoire, Africa. It says, Dear Pastor Lano, I am very happy that I received your world newsletters and a copy of your French Messiah book, which was included in the shipment. I can assure you that the result of what is being done in the lives of souls is extraordinary. Dear Pastor, I can also assure you that God is the one who will reward you for what you are doing. Through this note, I just want to tell you that the people in our country, which is at war, have such a need for the gospel and your publications in the countryside. So much that I would venture to say, as a man of the land and one who loves to be in contact with the provincial countries, I am asking you to help these people with French Bibles and New Testaments and many newsletters in French. Without forgetting, we are a third world country and are evangelists. We have a need to travel a little easier to win the maximum amount of souls. I also want, through this message, to ask if it is possible to help my team and myself to travel with bicycles or scooters, as the roads are obstructed for the most part. With hopes that this request is received by you, please receive, dear Pastor, our sincere prayers and blessings in Jesus, our Lord and Savior's name, Evangelist Anisette.
Okay, they need to tell us how much a bicycle is out there so that we can get some money to them, to the bicycle shop. And then we also, those people that have taken the orphans on, in the other letter, we need to send them, we need to find out, you know, what the food cost is over there and send them $500 to $1,000 right away. The little kids want food. Amen?
Amen.
And praise the Lord. All right, and so now we get into the 14th chapter of the book of Mark, translation, commentary, and then we go in, if we have the time, into consecration and prayer message. Go ahead.
Mark chapter 14. Jesus is anointed at Bethany. Translation verse 1. It was now 2 days before the Passover celebration and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and put him to death.
See, Jesus is the unleavened bread. When the bread came down for 40 years in the wilderness to feed the Jewish people, it was unleavened. In other words, that means there's no yeast in it. And the Word of God likens the word yeast is symbolic of sin. And so on these particular holidays, they were to eat unleavened bread, which is symbolic of the Messiah. Because it wasn't Moses that gave that bread to the children of Israel, it was Christ himself, the Father. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Then what else?
Verse 2, quote, but not during the Passover, they agreed, or there will be a riot, unquote. Verse 3, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had leprosy. During supper, a woman came in with a beautiful jar of expensive perfume. She broke the seal and poured the perfume over his head. Verse 4, some of those at the table were indignant. Quote, why was this expensive perfume wasted, they asked. Verse 5, she could have sold it for a small fortune and given the money to the poor, exclamation mark, unquote. And they scolded her harshly. Verse 6, but Jesus replied, quote, leave her alone. Why berate her for doing such a good thing to me? Verse 7, you will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but I will not be here with you much longer. Verse 8, she has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. Verse 9, I assure you, whenever the gospel, the good news, is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be talked about in her memory. Unquote. Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Verse 10, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests to arrange to betray Jesus to them. Verse 11, the leading priests were delighted when they heard why he had come, and they promised him a reward. So he began looking for the right time and place to betray Jesus. The Last Supper. Verse 12, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, The day the Passover lambs were sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, quote, "Where do you want us to go to prepare for the Passover supper?" Unquote. Verse 13. So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem to make arrangements. Quote, "As you go into the city," he told them, "a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him." Verse 14. "At the house you enter, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?'" Verse 15. "He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up, that is the place. Go ahead and prepare our supper there." Unquote. Verse 16. So the two disciples went on ahead into the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover supper there. Verse 17. In the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12 disciples. Verse 18. As they were sitting around the table eating, Jesus said, quote, "The truth is, one of you will betray me, one of you who is eating here with me." Unquote. Verse 19. Greatly distressed, one by one they began to ask him, quote, "I'm not the one, am I?" Unquote. Verse 20. He replied, quote, "It is one of you 12, one who is eating with me now." Verse 21. "For I, the Son of Man, must die as the Scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible will it be for my betrayer? Far better for him that he had never been born!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 22. As they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread and asked God's blessing on it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." Verse 23. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. Verse 24. And he said to them, quote, "This is my blood poured out for many, sealing the covenant between God and his people." Verse 25. "I solemnly declare that I will not drink wine again until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Unquote. Verse 26. Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Verse 27. Quote, "God will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Unquote. Verse 28. Quote, "But after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Unquote. Verse 29. Peter said to him, quote, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will." Unquote. Verse 30. Quote, "Peter," Jesus replied, "the truth is, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." Unquote. Verse 31. Quote, "No!" exclamation mark, Peter insisted, "Not even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you!" exclamation mark, unquote. And all the others vowed the same. Jesus prays in Gethsemane. Verse 32. And they came to an olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, quote, "Sit here while I go and pray." Unquote. Verse 33. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be filled with horror and deep distress. Verse 34. He told them, quote, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me." Unquote. Verse 35. He went on a little further and fell face down on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, that the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Verse 36. Quote, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine." Unquote. Verse 37. Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. Quote, "Simon," exclamation mark, he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you stay awake and watch with me even 1 hour? Verse 38. "Keep alert and pray. Otherwise temptation will overpower you. For though the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak." Unquote. Verse 39. Then Jesus left them again and prayed, repeating his pleadings. Verse 40. Again he returned to them and found them sleeping, for they just couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. Verse 41. When he returned to them the third time, he said, quote, "Still sleeping? Still resting? Enough!" exclamation mark. "The time has come. I, the Son of Man, am betrayed into the hands of sinners." Verse 42. "Up!" exclamation mark. "Let's be going. see my betrayer is here! Exclamation mark. Jesus is betrayed and arrested, verse 43. And immediately as he said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a mob that was armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent out by the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and leaders. Verse 44. Judas had given them a prearranged signal, quote, "You will know which one to arrest when I go over and give him the kiss of greeting. Then you can take him away under guard," unquote. Verse 45. As soon as they arrived, Judas walked over to Jesus, quote, "Teacher!" exclamation mark, unquote, he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Verse 46. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. Verse 47. But someone pulled out a sword and sliced off an ear of the high priest's servant. Verse 48. Jesus asked them, quote, "Am I some dangerous criminal that you've come in armed with swords and clubs to arrest me?" Verse 49. "Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day. But these things are happening to fulfill what the scriptures say about me," unquote. Verse 50. Meanwhile, all his disciples deserted him and ran away. Verse 51. There was a young man following along behind, clothed only in a linen nightshirt. When the mob tried to grab him, verse 452, they tore off his clothes, and he escaped and ran away naked. Jesus before the council, verse 53. Jesus was led to the high priest's home, where the leading priests and other leaders and teachers of religious law had gathered. Verse 54. Meanwhile, Peter followed far behind and then slipped inside the gates of the high priest's courtyard. For a while he sat with the guards, warming himself by the fire. Verse 55. Inside, the leading priests and entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would testify against Jesus so they could put him to death. But their efforts were in vain. Verse 56. Many false witnesses spoke against him, but they contradicted each other. Verse 57. Finally, some men stood up to testify against him with this lie. Verse 58. Quote, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without human hands,'" unquote. Verse 59. But even then, they didn't get their story straight, exclamation mark. Verse 60. Then the high priest stood up before the others and asked Jesus, quote, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" unquote. Verse 61. Jesus made no reply. Then the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed God?" unquote. Verse 62. Jesus said, quote, "I am, and you will see me, the Son of Man, sitting at God's right hand in the place of power and coming back on the clouds of heaven," unquote. Verse 63. Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, quote, "Why do we need other witnesses?" Verse 64. "You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" unquote, and they all condemned him to death. Verse 65. Then some of them began to spit at him, and they blindfolded him and hit his face with their fists. Quote, "Who hit you that time, prophet?" they jeered, and even the guards were hitting him as they led him away. Peter denies Jesus. Verse 66. Meanwhile, Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls who worked for the high priest, verse 67, noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and then said, quote, "You were one of those with Jesus the Nazarene," unquote. Verse 68. Peter denied it. Quote, "I don't know what you're talking about," unquote, he said, and he went out into the entryway. Just then a rooster crowed. Verse 69. The servant girl saw him standing there and began telling the others, quote, "That man is definitely one of them," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 70. Peter denied it again. A little later, some other bystanders began saying to Peter, quote, "You must be one of them because you are from Galilee," unquote. Verse 71. Peter said, quote, I swear by God, I don't know this man you are talking about. Unquote. Verse 72. And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. And suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Quote, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Unquote. And he broke down and cried.
All right, that was chapter 14 of Mark, and now we have commentary.
14, verse 10 through 26. People should not be shocked by Judas's betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, since Judas spent approximately 3.5 years as one of the Lord's disciples. There is no need to wonder what prompted him to act as he did. The Bible says that the devil entered into him, and that it would have been better that this man had never been born. Many people need to be honest with themselves. They need to compare themselves with the Scriptures. When they see that they are disobeying the Word of God, even after the Lord has purchased them with His blood and His life, and then raised from the dead, and they don't pay any attention to the Scripture that says He bought us from under the condemnation of the law, so therefore we belong to Him. When somebody buys something, it belongs to them. The Lord bought us, and just as I mentioned in messages previously, when you buy a house, you can live in it. The Lord wants to live in us, and He's going to, and if you don't, well then, you are betraying the Lord, and you fall back under the same condemnation of the law. Whenever you refuse to give Jesus authority over all of your life, every bit of it, not just over a certain area of your life, but all your life, then you are the same as betraying Jesus. But really, you are betraying your own self as well. Whenever you promise to do something, a thing that the Lord says for you to do, which you do when you get saved, you say that you're going to believe on the Word of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you deny the Lord as Judas did, and you don't do that, you're just like Judas.
Yes, and it'd be better that you had never been born. It'd be better for you that you'd never been born, because if you'd never been born before, then you wouldn't be going to hell. But because of the fact that you don't pay any attention to the Scriptures and you think that it's a sham or a joke, or just like man says a lot of things and then they just don't do it. But when the Lord utters something, it's going to happen for sure. If He says you break the law and you're going to hell in the lake of fire, you're going. Okay, then what else?
Most everyone today that I see are betraying God.
They're betraying themselves. Then what?
They're betraying the Lord Jesus Christ in some way or another. People should look at the condemnation of those that betray the Lord and take a hard look at your life and compare it with the Word of God. See what it says happens to those who betray the Lord. Verse 27 through 31. Peter is like many people today. They are not going to go out to betray the Lord at all. They're not going to deny Him. But people are not honest with themselves. We have to begin living in the Spirit. We have to begin being faithful to the Lord. Not when we feel like it or when we are in the mood to serve the Lord, but we must serve the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, just as we promised to. When we don't, then we are like Peter, who promised to stay with the Lord Jesus Christ and not betray Him, no matter what the cost. When he began following the Lord, he didn't realize that following the Lord always leads people to a cross. When he followed the Lord to the foot of the cross and saw the torture he was going through, he punked out. When things get tough, he folded. Peter backed out of his commitment. See chapter 14, verses 66 through 71. Most of the people I see today are doing the same thing. They believe that they can say that they are carrying the cross and serving the Lord, and they don't believe that denying the Lord is sin. But the Bible, the Word of God, which is Christ, states that to deny the Lord and to not be obedient is the same as witchcraft, and no witch shall enter the kingdom of heaven. My advice to you, and the Bible's advice to you, is don't try to escape obeying the Lord, even though it takes you into the valley of the shadow of death. Commit yourself to grow into the fullness of the stature of the Lord, so that when you are put to it, you will go through as a champion. Because the Spirit of God, the power of God, will be in you so strong that you will be able to do that.
And remember, growing to the fullness of the stature of the Lord means that you are definitely attending services every evening and in the afternoon or mornings whenever services are being held, because there's no way that a person can be in the fullness of the stature of the Lord without being in the fullness of the actual body of Christ. We must go to meetings, the church meetings, because we are the temple of God. We don't belong to ourselves, and this is what the Lord says. As a matter of fact, we're to assemble ourselves together all the more when we see the time of His coming is near. Then, go ahead.
Of course, we are not aware of the hard times that are in the future that we are going to have to face along the way. Growing in the fullness of the stature of Christ makes it easier for you to face whatever it is that you are going to have to face. And you can be sure that you are going to face opposition in allowing the Lord to live out His life in you. But even though we are going to be tempted to give up and fall back into the destructive habits which causes us to be placed back under the condemnation of the law, and if that happens, you are going to hell and you will spend eternity in unquenchable fire in the lake of fire, you must consider the difficulties that you are going to have to face before you start out on the journey in the ministry. We are to prepare our heart to be human sacrifices for the Lord, to just do what He says, no matter if it leads to the cross, not only the foot of the cross, but to be nailed to the cross ourselves, or to be beheaded. Of course, that isn't a very good message that people want to hear, and many will not be beheaded, and many will not go to the cross, even though millions have in the past.
But one thing for sure, that we do have to carry the cross, and we're going to have to carry the cross and receive whatever environment it is that the Lord places us in throughout our lifetime. Because no matter, even if we did get beheaded, or even if we got shot through, or whatever, it's still, if we remain faithful, we'll be right in heaven. And if we don't, we'll be in hell. Okay, then what else?
They've even been fed to the lions. The Lord said that His people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So get all the knowledge you can now. Get a hold of the Lord. Start learning how to be led by the Holy Spirit, so that you will be able to avoid all that sort of thing. That way you will not be devastated when you have to face certain obstacles in the future. As we pray the sincere prayer, we learn to think in the way that the Lord thinks. We must put on the mind of Christ. We must learn to think the way the Word thinks. The Word is Christ. We learn to ask questions that will lead us away from our destructive past and from being destroyed in the future on a day-to-day basis. We must have a productive future. We need to produce for the Lord, to be resourceful for Him.
Right. And not a future of our own, or not a future that we plan, not a future in the world or in the a planned future that we plan for ourselves in the body of Christ, but we do have a future with the Lord forever. It's a future that we... it's a future in the kingdom of heaven, but that's only attained by our becoming a sacrifice that's pleasing unto the Lord, a living sacrifice. Okay, so we put all of our future away and we just let the Lord live out His life in us. Then what?
You begin to ask, what can I change in my situation? You can't say, what can I change? The Lord does the changing. Just read the Word and do what it says, and you will be changed. Most everything is beyond our control. But if we keep the commandments of the Lord, He will control everything. You don't have to think about what you are supposed to do or say. You just obey His Word. You can read in the Word what our responsibilities are in every situation. That's so nice, no matter what situation it is that we are going to have to face. As you develop the mind of Christ, which we will call the new thought process, you may very well lack confidence in your own wisdom. Well, that's very good, because there is no wisdom but the Lord. Christ, the Word of God, is the wisdom and the power of God. So you may hesitate to carry out God's will if you are afraid of the criticism of people for doing things differently than the rest of the world does, most people around you. Walking in the Spirit is common sense in God's eyes. So don't try to figure out in advance what the likely consequences of our choices and actions will be. We know that if you do exactly what the Lord tells you to do, that your consequences will be good. If you don't, then it's going to be very bad. The Word of God tells us that getting wisdom is the most important thing that you can do, and wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And whatever else you do, get good judgment. Proverbs 4, verse 7. You can exercise God's common sense by thinking about what He can do and then letting Him do the things that He can do in and through you. A woman wanted to do something to demonstrate her love for the Lord, so she poured some expensive perfume on His head. The disciples criticized her for doing this. Jesus came to her defense with these words, quote, "Leave her alone. Why berate her for doing such a good thing to me? She has done what she could," unquote. I'm sure that it was the Holy Spirit that led her to do that. Mark chapter 14, verse 6 through 8. These are words that you can very well cling to. God wants you to have the mind of Christ. He wants to renew your mind and help you develop wisdom. But you have to help yourself to develop the wisdom and knowledge or the common sense of God. Putting on the mind of Christ just simply means to just fill your brain full of the Word of God and then continue to remember that you were purchased and that you don't belong to yourself.
Just remember that you are to just read the Word of God, fill your mind with it, and do what it says. That doesn't even take any thinking ability. Just do what the Lord says. And that shows that you trust Him, and no matter what development happens in the world that you're going through or whatever environment, you just know it's of the Lord, and you're just doing what He says, and therefore you're going to make it. You're going to be blessed. All right, then what else?
You've been purchased from out of the condemnation of the law, because the law legally owns you because of sin, Satan, and the world that you've been dealing with. Now, God didn't have to buy you from sin, Satan, and the world, because sin, Satan, and the world does not legally own you. But because you broke the law of God by sinning and following Satan and the world, what happened is you have fallen under the condemnation of the law. Now, the law is so legal, so lawful, and these false prophets have made the word legal horrible as a bad thing. But God is very legal, and He knows that the law is very legal. And so, in order to buy us legally, somebody had to die.
Buy us legally from the condemnation of the law. He had to buy us. And the only one that could was the one that never sinned. Because there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood, and nobody else's blood, animals or humans, could have saved us from the condemnation of the law. Only a person who had never sinned before, and that person had to be God come in the flesh. But then what?
Somebody had to pay the price for us. And so therefore the Lord paid the price of getting us out from under the condemnation of the law.
If we do what He says. But if you don't, then you're still, you're disobedient, and disobedience is the same as witchcraft, and so you're still under the condemnation of the law. The law condemns us and is extremely harsh and is unforgiving. The only way that we can escape the unforgivableness of the law is to be in Christ. Okay? To come to Him and do as He says. Then what?
The Lord paid the price of getting us out from under the condemnation of the law by giving His own life, shedding His own blood, and then showing that in Him, not in sin, Satan, and the world, but in Him, we are able to stay away from being condemned by the law because we go and sin no more. Don't take His
word... And we have the power to go and sin no more. Then what?
Don't take His words lightly where He says, "Go and sin no more," or the words which say, "He that sinneth is of the devil." Use the wisdom and knowledge that the Word of God gives you. Put it in your mind and keep it there, and don't listen to the false prophets. You may find it fun doing that on this side of eternity, but you are not going to find it fun when you stand before the Lord on Judgment Day. As you try to sort out your choices...
And Judgment Day may for you come today, because we have no guarantee that we're going to live, but we definitely are guaranteed that we're going to die. Okay, then what else? That's for sure. You're going to die. Your body is going to be corrupt, you're going to be, and you're also going to face the Lord for judgment. Then what else?
As you try to sort out your choices, really you don't have a choice, because you don't belong to yourself any longer, but the Lord owns you. He bought you, and He's living in you and wants to live and work in and through you. You have to, because of the fact that the Lord wants to do His work in you, take what people say and do to criticize you and bring false accusations against you. But don't worry about it. The Lord will keep you strong. Don't pay any attention to anybody but the Lord. We can trust that God will come to our defense as long as we do what His Word, the Scriptures, direct us to do. 14 verse 32 through 42. Jesus opened His heart to Peter, James, and John. Quote, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me," unquote. Chapter 14, verse 34. Jesus demonstrated qualities that, if we're in His body, they are important for us to have, as well as we grow into the fullness of Himself, the stature of Christ. Honesty, transparency, and trust. Jesus wanted others to give Him some support in this hour of tragedy and agony shortly before His death. Jesus said that He despised the shame of the cross. If Jesus needs human support to face His trials and the different things that He must go through because He was to follow the Father, He loved us so much that He had to pay the price of the law. It's
right,
legal.
So if even Jesus needed human support, we do too. We need the body of Christ in order to keep ourselves strong and support us during the times of trials and tribulations. Okay, so go on.
Now He legally owns us and will continue owning us if we don't sin. If you sin, you fall back under the condemnation of the law. So we must need support of the church even more. And this is what it means to be filled with the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Right. If we're going through stuff, trials and tribulation, you do need the support of one another. And that's what the fullness of the stature of Christ says, is it supports you being in church. People that don't tell or confess the trials that they're going through can never expect to have any help. Ask and you shall receive. If you don't, if you're not going to be in the body, you're not going to tell what you're going through, you're not going to be honest with the body of Christ, then there's no way that they can support you, because they don't know what you're going through. Okay, then what?
To be filled with the fullness of the stature of Christ is to be a member, a viable part, a working part of the church, and doing what the Bible says, whether you feel like it or not.
In other words, you know what the Bible says, you have to support others, and what you sow, you'll reap. You sow support, and you'll reap support. Then what?
We have to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul.
And love the Word of God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, the Lord is the Word. Then what?
Because He constraineth us.
Right.
The love of God just pours toward us like a flood of water. So it's important that we develop the Lord's Spirit within us, because it will be His Spirit in us that will be supporting one another and all the people in the world that receive the Lord, that will hold human relationships, because the Lord will hold us accountable and we will be responsible for the things that we do in this body.
Right, so like human relationships, we keep them because we have to show ourselves to be friendly to have friends. We have to show ourselves to be Christians in order to have Christian support. We have to support others. Keeping the Word of God means that we love the brothers and sisters. In other words, we keep the commandments before the brothers and sisters. All right, then what?
We will be responsible for the things that we do in this body, the work that we allow God.
The things that we do and the things that we don't do. We're responsible. There's a reward for both. Then what?
The work we allow God to do as we're growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Unless we can develop and maintain the meaningful human relationships by allowing God to enter us and live His life out in us, We are not our own. It would be impossible to continue in growth and be impossible to enter into the kingdom of heaven because of disobedience. 14 verse 53 through 65. Jesus was the victim. He was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He was abused, and everything that happened to him was unjust, that man had done unto him, but God was just to him. He was lied about, falsely accused, convicted, and physically assaulted, and he says that we'll all suffer the same things. But instead of returning words or blows in the same way, he entrusted his life and his future in eternity to his Father's care. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Jesus modeled the kind of trust that a person with a history of abuse might emulate. As we remember the pain of past abuses in our life, we can turn all the hurtful events and all the vengeful feelings over to God. We can then focus on our own problems, and we can focus on the Lord strictly, so that we know that as we focus on the Lord, all of our problems will be cast upon Him, for He cares for us. We know that we are totally dependent upon Him, knowing that God will deal justice with the people who have hurt us in the past and will hurt us in the future. Chapter 14, verse 66 through 72. Peter, like most people, didn't know himself as well as he thought he did. Earlier, he had claimed that he would never deny Jesus. Chapter 14, verse 29 through 31. Here he denied his master three times. So Peter could have profited from Jesus' earlier prediction of his denial, and he could have prepared himself for it and fulfilled the things that his word said that he would do. Chapter 14, verse 30. But instead of shrugging it off, he should have responded to Jesus' words with honest self-examination, and maybe he wouldn't have done that. Denying the sad truth about yourself usually leads to the loss of important opportunities to correct your character flaws. If you don't admit the things that are wrong with you, then the Lord will not be able to build His character in you, and you'll always have those character flaws. Honest confession is good for the soul. When you will not correct yourself and admit your faults, this will stop your progress in growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. It will also stunt your spiritual growth, and you'll never grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. As a matter of fact, many times, people will go to hell and to the lake of fire.
Well, praise the Lord. Now, I see that our time is up. That was chapter 14 of Mark, 72 verses, a translation and commentary. And we'll get to this other message tomorrow of consecration and prayer. Just remember that we must be part of the body. And that means that the body is actually the Word of God, and the body itself are those that are the incarnation of Christ. You can tell the ones that are really of Christ because they care for one another. People that don't care for their brothers or sisters, if they're angry at them, if they hate them, the love of God is not in them at all. And so you need to really do a self-examination on yourself. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. Until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.